Father, again, we open this precious book. And Lord, it's given for knowledge we can understand. Help us have wisdom to apply it. And our Father, we thank you again that it's preserved for our day. And when I read it, I breathe the very voice of God. And I stand in awe, and it's about when I read how you bring things together to our mind. And Lord, how it takes time of studying that you get to the point that you really seek out dots, connected together, and we see things that are blessing in these latter days. They help us understand there's more to Christianity than most people think. The world has so belittled it nowadays, it just seems to be a place to have with God, and he's so happy to have us no matter what we do, what we say, and how we look in life, that he's going to end up in the end and everything's going to be okay because he's going to make it okay. Well, everything is all right in Christ, we're saved, but Lord, there's life to live. We said this morning, we're in that stage now of completing the second phase of our life, and that's getting the gospel out after we've been born into the family of God. But now help us tonight to see as we leave here, all of us, maybe Christians here. We need to understand a little bit about maturity in life. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I saw a sign that read something like this. A mature dentist, it's called a mature dentist oath. I solemnly swear to extract the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth, so help me as a dentist. Well, we're talking about truth tonight, though, and hopefully this would help us understand some things. I read also where a patient said one day, Doc, said, can you cure my rheumatism? He said, I believe I can. I've studied this thing. And he said, I want to ask you something. Can you act like a mature patient if I tell you what to do? He said, I sure can. I think I can. If you tell me what to do, and it helped me. And the doc said, I want you for 1 month that you should avoid dampness of any kind. And come back. And he come back. And he said, did it work? And he said, Doc, yeah, my rheumatism is better. And the doc held his nose. He said, but I didn't tell you to not take a bath the whole month. Well, tonight, we want to look at mature Christians in Jesus Christ. There seem to be three stages or levels in the Christian life. If you look from Scripture, and you can find this in all three. One thing is, before you got to be born again first. Secondly, you got to grow, and then the third comes a time that you have become, and it, when you talk about grow, we talk about growing up through stages to be an adult in the Christian life. And then the last one, of course, would be the seasonal Christian. In other words, there's a newborn child of God. There's the one who grows in grace and knowledge of the Lord and comes to the point to be an adult Christian after being saved a few years. And then there's the seasonal Christian. In every church, you have the crowd. And then you have the crew. The crew's a work crew. It's that way no matter where you go. It seems to be less now because contemporary churches are trying to have just a few on stage who are the work crew and have the audience there. It becomes a teaching mode rather than an information mode to understand Scripture. And so teaching a child to say thank you with gratitude is not easy. Have you ever tried that? Did you have your family elders and try to teach your children to say, did you know that a child does not learn to say thank you by themselves? Did you know a little child gets to say thank you? Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. You have to teach them that. It doesn't come automatically. And by the way, you can teach them that, and even then, once in a while, they get out of harness and not say it. You know why? Because they learn to be greed like we all have in us, and it has to be tampered with, and God's Word does just that. So our hearts is filled with gratitude because of God's blessing. It should be filled with gratitude because of God's blessing. And it seems God's best way is always forecoming. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 said, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. It talks about our face is not covered because in the age of grace it don't have to be. We are been born into the family of God, and our faces are not covered as the Holy Spirit makes us more like our Lord. By the way, when you and I got saved, we just got the entry into the family of God. We were babes in Christ, according to Hebrews, read it. We were on the milk of God's Word. And God wanted us to get off the milk on the word and into term, which he called strong meat. And he said a child of God who has been saved for a period of time should be able to take strong meat so they can give to others. If not, he says you need to go back to the first articles and be in turn on the milk again of God's word. And so we know this, though, if a child is on God's word all the time, they do not become what they need to be because we need something other than just milk. It's good when we need it. I love it now once in a while. But milk is not my main menu today. I still love it, but it's not my main menu. And same way this, I love the basic things that God taught me in the early years, but I pray that God help me now get beyond that so I can build upon it and be a mature Christian in my latter days of my life and then the days that he's let me live as far as the latter days of his, what he's doing. Psalms 84 verse 7 said, they go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. So this is a great wisdom for ungrateful people and for the natural state of man to learn these things, but it's even more important that the child of God learn these things. Now, so first of all, we want to go to Deuteronomy. And the first phase I want you to look at, we talk about the newborn child of God, his little babe in Christ. Israel has just been redeemed out of the land of Egypt. Israel now has been in the years for 40 years, and Moses has been given instruction now what they're to do when they get into the land. You think this, God redeemed them out, he got them through the wilderness, those who are 20 years and old died, and now the new group's going in there. You think that since their lives see what God did, that he would give them instruction, listen, I'm going before you, take the land, and I want to tell you, he told them what it was filled with milk and honey, and a way to explain it, you have everything you need there. But then he warned them, just like a child, been a person here in the gospel of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. They've been born into the family of God. They've been redeemed, and therefore they're a child of God. But they're a babe in Christ. And so they grow up to understand God has a special place in their life, but he won't burglarize our will to have that place. We are saved, but again, we're to grow. How would I know what to do that God instructs me unless I grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord? And hear me say this morning, how would I know what to do in the flesh unless I grow through the system that's set up, having the knowledge and understanding and having to be able to have the wisdom to apply that knowledge correctly. So I want you to notice, first of all, as we read verse chapter 8 of Deuteronomy 8, 7 through 14, that Moses gives God's gives God's advice to the Hebrew people before they get in the land. They already been redeemed out. He's dispersed those, and he showed that he means business for what he did in the wilderness. And now they're fixing to go. And if you look with me again, we'll start reading in verse 7. And here's what God says. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that springeth out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Now, you say, how does that affect me? Let's come back. They have been reading out of Egypt. They head into the promised land, and they're fixing to go into the promised land, the new life that God has redeemed them from. If you compare that to us, we've been in this world, and we were saved by the grace of God. We've been redeemed, and God now has headed us in a new direction in this world to represent him for the glory of God until he gets us home on the other side. So in essence, what has happened here, he's redeemed them just like he redeemed us, but he redeemed us through Christ. He redeemed them by the sacrifices of the animals of that time, those that gave the sacrifices, and they're headed to the promised land. Now he says, you fix it to go in there, but I want to tell you something. You go in. I'm going to go before you, but I'm not going to go for you. I said this a few weeks ago. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to be in there fighting before you because I'm going to give you victory. Now you're going to lose some people. You're going to mourn some. But I want you to know I've still given you the land. Now, when you get in that land and you start reaping what I've told you you're going to reap, you start getting the rewards, I say, that you had. Watch what he says next. And Moses gives us information. He said, beware. I mean, you looked at God's going to do everything for him, these other verses. I mean, he's just going to give him the top of everything. I mean, they're going to have more than even those people in the land. But when he gets through telling them what he's going to do for them, give them the land, the blessed they'd be, how great it would be, the material things in that land, then he says, beware. Folks, listen, beware what I'm fixing to read. This is to us as much so as them in the sense what it means, because it happened in that grace just as good as it could happen back in that day going into the land. Because you and I go into a new territory, even though it's in this life, and it's serving God, thanking for the blessed, learn to say thank you, be grateful, and obey God in the same time doing what he tells us to do. So he says, beware. that thou forget not the Lord thy God. How in the world could they forget him? How could we have forget him? So I don't forget him. I meet with him once a week. Hey, we need to meet with him every day. Not once a week. He ought to be on our mind just once a week or twice a week or a few times a week. Every day we want to get up with him. And when we go to bed at night, it will be the last thing we do to recognize to him who we are and thank him for what he's done and have gratitude. But those on, he goes on, he said, in not keeping his commandments and his beware that you forget the Lord God, not keep his commandments, his judgment, and his statutes which I commanded thee this day. Let them that have eaten are full and had built goodly houses dwell therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein they were fiery serpents. And look how he protected them in scorpions and draught, where there was no water, and who brought thee forth water out of a rock of a flint. And he said, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, when thy fathers knew not that he might humble them, and that he might prove them. He said, I brought them through the wilderness to get them ready for the land, to prove them, to bring them to the point that they need me, and they see that in the wilderness. I fed them. I've gave them water. I've taken care for 40 years. Now you're going into the land. Have all of this, but beware lest you forget. If you do, there's a consequence. By the way, they're still God's people in Israel, right? He's not talking about the Gentiles. He's not talking about the Hittites, all those Hittites family over there. He's talking to Israel that's going into the land. They were God's choice people, redeemed as a nation out of the land of Egypt. And then he said, who fed in the wilderness? He said, and thou shalt say, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do the good at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand had got me this wealth. You get over there and all of a sudden you get ease and you find out that things are going so well. And say, look what we're accomplished. And now you're older and your children have come up. Look what we're accomplished. And suddenly you say, wait a minute, I'm doing all the work here. God said, no, you didn't. I did it for you. No, I did the labor. I did the fighting. No, he said, I did it for you because you couldn't have won without me. Hey, you may have done what I said, but I told you I'm going before you. I'm not going to do it for you, but I'm going before you. And I'll bless you if you do what I say do. And then goes on, he said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is giveth thee, watch this, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Isn't it interesting? He didn't say that it's he that gave him wealth. He said it's he that gave you the power to get wealth. By the way, same is true today. Unsaved people can get wealth, but they don't lose it all. God's people, God said, I'll give you the powerful wealth. You serve me, but wealth will never become your God because your God in wealth can't do for you what I can. Because wealth won't help you when you're sick, about to die, when you're drawing your last breath, when you're at the point of leaving this world. You need something else. And he said, don't ever forget me. Walk with me, and I'll bless you, and I'll bring you, and you have the best of the land. And then you'll be the voice for me for all Gentile nations that this God of Israel is the best God that's loved. He's the real God. He's the one who helps them, develops them, moves trouble, fights for them. But then he says, he gives the power to get wealth that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the first thing I want you to look with me, Moses gives this advice to these Hebrew children. What Moses told Israel does not come naturally. It doesn't seem right. If you got the power, you use your arsenal, you fight, and you either win or lose. But in this case, God said you're going to win. You're going to fight, you're going to lose some things, but I'm going to give you more in the end result. By the way, let me tell you something, the same as in the age of grace. What you and I may lose for him because we serve him, God said, this coming today, I'm going to reward you for more than you ever thought of. Eye has not seen, ears not heard, neither is entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Sometimes in this life, someone thinks, well, I may lose it all if I can't get anything in this life. On the other hand, God said to you, serve me. You may go through some struggles, but you'll come out better in the end, not only in heaven, but now. And you have a peace of mind that riches cannot give you. And here Moses is talking. One of the best ways to teach such truth is to talk about them. This is like a sit in a child's table for meat or a family altar. Yeah, I don't know if they don't do this now, but I remember years ago when we were certain ages, when our family, all of us got together, we didn't sit at the main table. We used to go to my uncle's house, and he had this table, a long table. It was made for not rich people, but it had a turn thing on the top. You know, you've seen that? And you sat at the table, and then you turned the table top and get what you wanted off of it. But it had so full, all the children had to sit at another table. We sat over there at the kids' table, they called it, in those days. And we sat there because adults sat at the table. And sometimes adults look more like children than those sitting at the kiddie table. But what I'm saying to you, that's the way it was. Well, God is teaching us, this is like sitting at a table, child's table for me to a family order, and we try to learn thank you. Say thank you, to be gratitude, to have gratitude. What do you touch them? Teach them. We had family order here, but you're going to tell you the same thing. You say thank you. You say yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, ma'am. No, sir. We taught that at the family altar years ago. And you'll be surprised how much now it goes in adulthood. Sometimes you hear that said because that's the beginning of what we understand when it comes to this first thing as being a child. Many of God's people take God's goodness for granted. It seems that when God's goodness increases, and this is what God is saying here, sometimes when God's goodness increases, gratitude for God decreases. Oh, preacher, be honest, look in the mirror. And sometimes people serve God when they don't have anything much, and when God gives them blessing, then they have reasons to find other things to do. And all of a sudden, what you did for God began to decrease rather than increase, or he maintained where we may have been at that particular time. And I say this, any time we have to adjust, we can always serve God. We can always serve God. Someone said one time, I was talking about some preacher, some of you get in bed and you can't do nothing at all, what are you going to do? I'll be a prayer warrior. I learned to pray early. By the way, I can pray when I can't do nothing else. Amen? I mean, I can pray if I can't even talk. Aren't you glad God hears us? He hears the heart, brother. But I'm telling you, and we all can, so we have to adjust sometimes because our physical lives won't let us do what we'd like to do at that time. So here, God's gift will not make one happy unless one gifts are joined with gratitude. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I learned something years ago. Success with ambition, only without application, will not be true success at all. If a person is successful with ambition and don't have appreciation of it, because without appreciation, there will be greed. When a person learns to be thankful and understand that God gave me what I had, then that has a tendency to minimize greed. But once we ever get to the place that we did it all, greed becomes a factor that Satan uses against us. And we don't even know it. It just seems natural. He's blessed me. And next thing we know, there's things less been done than it would be done that we had talents to do before. It's been said that happy people exhibit gratitude and make the most of everything they do. I know this gratitude is more than just saying, it's just a way of thinking. Gratitude without acts is kind of like faith without works. When you and I don't have gratitude because of what God's done for us, it's like having faith and having no works. In other words, it can't be seen because it's not there, it's head. So for until what is in your head forms outward acts, it's not mature gratitude. So this is the basis of what Moses is teaching the Hebrew people. It's like telling children to say thank you. What would be some child, you wouldn't try to get someone child to pray like maybe we do as adults and think about big things. You start out with little things. You teach a child to say thank you. What do you say? Thank you for mom, dad, grandpa, grandma. That's simple. By the way, prayer is simple. But after a while, when you get that and pray for only that, then you are not growing like we should. Because we're all thankful for mom and dad and grandpa and granddad. And we are thankful for the dogs and the cats. We are thankful for the food we eat. And those things, by the way, routine prayer is kind of those things. But sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, God will fix it so we have to pray more than a routine prayer. Nothing comes to us and not filtered through his hand. And I bet you, if you be honest, look in the mirror. Sometimes you had to pray about some things that come your way that you pray, not routine prayer. You prayed from the depth of your heart and soul. The Holy Spirit helped you, and you felt better even though you're in the worst time of your life. God, ladies and gentlemen, don't work like humanity thinks. And the way the world does not save things in this life. And so here, I know God. Thou art, when you find yourself in this error, he works in mighty different ways. And here, a lot of Christians don't even make it to the kids' table when they pray. Moses said, Israel, when you arrive in this good land, don't act like you earned it. Don't act like you deserved it. No, it came from God and his provision. God is saying, I will not go in for you, but I will go before you. That means you have my protection. Oh, you're going to hurt some. You may cry some. You may suffer some. But the end result will be better. Christian, we may suffer some for Christ, but the end result is much better. There's going to be some people you're going to see. God's going to exalt you. We're going to be left behind because they did some things, even gave their life for God. And we washed a few pots and pans. It's like, I used to think when I was in the service, I hated KP. Didn't look like anything was doing when you did KP. I liked it on the reins, firing. And, you know, a young boy, 17, 18 years old, 19, 20 years old, you know, that's a big thing. But you know, you had to have the KP. But you know, I never saw anybody get a reward for being on KP. And after a while, the new group came in. And they had to pull KP. And you move up now. Now you're a sergeant. You're in charge of a tomb, a platoon, a squad, a platoon later. And headed towards the platoon sergeant. I was E6. And so there, once I got there, I didn't have to do any more PT. What are you looking at me so crazy? You didn't think I've been around much. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, God gives us things as a factor. It's a blessing you put and see together. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I think of my own life now that I've been trying to be PT for God. Instead of what I could have done for him. I look in the mirror. I don't know. I don't see what I used to see. But God sees everything. It's hard to explain. You have to experience it. But I've never regretted. Sometimes in something, I wonder what was going on. I'll never regret one thing that ever come our way in those days. And you have to, if you've never been where I've been, you don't understand what we're talking about. But I'm telling you, it is God. God always comes to us in the time of need. Always learn to appreciate the opportunity to what God provides for you and I. It's sad when one is not able to see the blessing that God gives to us each day. Here, again, Moses said, Israel, you've arrived in this good land. Don't act like you earned or deserved it. It came to you from God and his provision. Always learn to appreciate the opportunity to what God provides for us. This must be learned to graduate to the next level that God has for his people. I must learn what a babe in Christ is. I must learn how Hebrews tells I'd be done with that. And don't to learn that why I'm around the spiritual playpen, as I've said so many times, there's something God has for me, but he gives it to me as I obey that to move further to the next level. Turn to Psalms 23 with me, if you will. And we'll look at David. I think he's a good character in the Old Testament. I love this. Look in Psalms 23. In Psalms 23, we look at this, we learn that due to David's personal experience, verse 1 through 3, we can appreciate God's provision even in troubled time, which is higher level than where we see the beginning of our salvation. It's a higher level where David's at now than it was when Israel had gone into the land, fighting for it. How does I know that? Watch what David said. I'm talking about the second level. We learned that due to David's personal experience, we can appreciate God's provision, though it may be different than when we started. When we got saved, it so happened, so it went on. We thought everything was going to be just hunky-dory. That's a good Johnson County word. And we found the hunky-dory was cut out of it. There are some places we have to face. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me by the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. First three verses sound good, doesn't it? God's in charge. He's leading me. Praise his holy name. But wait a minute. David said, yet, though I walk through the valley of death. That doesn't sound like praise, does it? He was having pressure come upon him. He was facing things. Let's study his life. His own family turned against him. He ran from Saul. He was a fugitive. One time, a bunch of soldiers came in and took his whole family, and he had to go fight for them. When I see this, he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You know what this is? It's a place of trust. That's where we get to from the place that trusting Christ as Savior. We come to trust in God for our deliverance in our Christian life. To get to a level after a while that it just becomes the right thing to do. Grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, and God will raise you, elevate you to positions that whereas you can serve God in a way that you couldn't might have served Him otherwise. And when I see this happening here, it's easy to thank God when you occupy a bountiful place. It's easy to thank God, ladies and gentlemen, when you find yourself, you know, in a place where things are going on that's pretty good. When you're receiving God's blessing, you see it and you recognize it and you're better now off than you were before. But David tells us to trust God during a challenge, during a difficult place. In other words, God got him in there, but he knew already what they were due. By the way, they did exactly what he said not do. And eventually they lost everything. But he knew the heart and he challenged them. When you get in there, keep in mind the blessings are there, but don't start serving the blessings rather than the God who gave it the blessing. And he's talking to Israel about this for us to learn by. He has said everything written is for our learning, our edification and so forth. And so here, I know. In other words, David said, "I know, God, that thou art with me, even in uncomfortable places." But verse 5, God is present. You notice he said in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I feel no evil." He's trusting him. He said, "God, I know that though I'm in the worst place I could be, in the valley of the shadow of death, I know that thou art with me." That's trust, folks. I mean, it's not like when I just got saved and rejoicing. Now I'm in the pit. I'm in the worst place. Everything seems to be against me, but I know thou art with me. That's the only thing that matters wherever we're at when we're down in the dumps. You know he's there. Aren't you glad he said never leave us forsakers? What a savior he'd be if he said, "Well, I can't help you there, so you've got to get up by yourself." I'm glad in my worst times he's got the power to help me. And so can us all. And so at this time, we see he says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Wait a minute. The first three verses look like not a rod and staff. But now he said, "Though I fear no evil, yeah, I know walk through the valley of death." And then the rod and staff has to do with that of correction. Then watch. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." The first three verses don't look like everything's joy. But now he's talking about the fact that they walked through the shadow of death. And he said, "Lord, you prepared a table for me right in the presence of my enemies." So that's a wonderful thing. Ladies and gentlemen, how good would it be to eat at a table where you had enough enemies around? And these days you better watch because the enemies will destroy you. I thought about this. I think knowing what I know that God's able to protect me, if I was sitting at a table that's furnished and I had one there was my enemies, I'd be scared to death or at least wonder what's going to happen. Because I see them, I can't see God. I can believe Him, but sometimes evidence looks like He's not around. Have you ever been somewhere and you prayed and seemed like God didn't ever answer your prayer and didn't happen like you did, and weeks went by, maybe a few months went by, and then suddenly you saw He did answer it, but not the way you wanted it answered. He's going to do that every time. You know why? So He'll get the glory. And I'm glad God is present when my table, and here's what I find out. Sitting at that table, not necessarily individuals, except unless they fill with something. Sitting at that table, ladies and gentlemen, is fear, insecurity, discouragement, despair, loneliness, trouble, problems in turn that we face in life. And God is present. What David said, God is present. God is in the presence of my enemies. I don't care where they are. God is present with me when I sit at the table, but I also know the enemies are there. The fear, the distrust, the problems in life that comes. I'm going to be sitting at the table knowing that God can help me. But wait a minute, don't get focused on the enemy. Stay focused on the one who's head at the table. And that's God. Because that's where our trust is at. And he says, don't focus on the enemy. Focus on him who is there. God is present at the table with fear and all these things. And when I can rejoice at the presence of my enemies, why? For I can focus on my Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ my Lord. I'm focused on the one who is the head at the table, not those sitting around it. Now, what is the table? It's life. So what are you saying, sweet preacher? I'm saying God has made some promises and he keeps them, but not the way we think. And that throws us off a little bit because people have a relationship with him that he's a God, grandfather in heaven. Everything I ask, he gives me. If he don't give me, then I don't understand that. I'm going to tell you, some of the things God does for us won't look like a gift. Because when God does something for us, in a sense, in a way we don't like it, we look into the mirror of our life and God said, son, I know what you need to get where I want you. You're not where I'm going to get you. And if I gave you what you asked, you can't get there. I know you. Sometimes I'll give you something you don't want. And then you'll show how much you trust me. And you'll get me where you want me. How do I know that? Preacher, you know what you want? Don't tell me. 1992, right here, when I got that night, ended up in the hospital, in the coma for fight from Sunday night. You heard me say it many times on Sunday. Don't tell me God can't use things and get your attention later to see he never got where he wanted me unless I face that. Why? He needed the trust that I had there as much so as on the mountainside. He needed the trust that I had there as much so as when things are going well. And when he gets that, Satan can't do a thing without filtering it to his hand. Aren't you glad? I don't know. God, please help me get across. I know what I'm talking about. Not only have I learned and studied this, but I've experienced some of this myself in my own life. I'm focused on the one who is the head of the table. And then the third thing, turn to Philippians chapter 1 with me. We saw what Moses said to the nation of Israel going into the land. We saw what David said, which is later. Look over to Philippians. Chapter 1, and I want to read verse 15 and 16 for the sake of time. If you go back, you see how he's talking about the things that God, he says, you may approve that excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ in verse 10. And he goes on down, he says in verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confidence by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He said, Paul said, me in bonds now is all right. He was in jail when he wrote this. Me in bonds gives those who are preaching now not to be in fear because he see how I'm dealing with it. The strength that I have, they can have. That's what he's talking about. He said, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word of without fear. Paul said, because I'm in jail now, not because I could have been crying, because I'm doing what God said do. They see me and they have the... They have not fear. They have power. They have that which in turn energizes them because they see Paul. And when Paul himself never had any problems at all when it comes to trusting God after he met on the road to Damascus. Then notice he says, some indeed preach Christ even as in envy and strive, he said, and some also goodwill. He says, some people preaching Christ aren't even the word of God because his name is mentioned. He's rejoicing. He's suffering, but he's rejoicing the fact that his name's been mentioned. And then he said, the one preached Christ a contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. And of course, I think we have a lot of that today. But I want you to notice down it with me in verse 18. He said, but then, let me read verse 15, 17. But the other love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel, what then? Notwithstanding every day, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. In other words, they pretense means they were in false, they were false claiming or proclaiming profession that was unsupported by what they said because they didn't have the right scriptures. And this is a misplaced shame. Paul is saying what they're doing is a misplaced shame because they're preaching something that's truth that's really not truth. But there are some who are preaching truth. And therefore it takes the Holy Spirit to help us understand the two out of this. So Paul takes us to a higher level as I connect the dots, while Paul's in chains, here's me now. Here's what I see. I don't know about you. Paul, while he's in chains in Rome, he's writing this letter to Philippi. He's making some things. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we're to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Sometimes we don't grow as fast as we should, maybe when they're going well. We grow better when they're going not seem to be well in the eyes of people. Because the world's watching us when everything we're in. And if we show God and gratitude to Him, no matter where we're at, it destroys anything Satan says. And because they're confined, they're bewildered about it. And this is for those who have grown in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. This is the seasonal child of God. We had first the born-again child of God, and looking at Israel as being redeemed out of the nation of Egypt. Now we have that which is the growth, growing from the child into adulthood, and that's getting grounded and settled now in things. And then God moves it to the sea. That's the person who says, it doesn't make any matter. It's just Lar, 40-something, still serving God. Still serving God. Listen, that's, I don't care what you think. That's seasonal. That's saying, hey, this person is from the cradle, spiritually speaking, as adult, now still serving God somewhere or another. That's seasonal. And that's what God is showing to a world. They watch it, watch it, watch it, every step of the way. And I see a wonderful thing at this time. This is for those who've grown in grace and knowledge of the Lord. This is the seasonal. One who knows that God has a plan for them, like Paul did, Romans 8:28. It's God's promise for His children. Each ingredient that comes may not seem to be the best, but the final results will be for our good. And we know that all things work together for good, them who love God and call to His purpose. And that's where we see that He's talking. God has, that shows us God has promised for His children. So the ingredients that come may not seem to be the best, but the final results will be our good for those who love God, to them who are called and called to His purpose. Notice, it's not our purpose. Did you know that verse? As he said all of that, again, that all things work together for good, them who love God and called according to His purpose, not ours. Oh, you didn't get that? My purpose might be, God, get me out of this mess. His purpose may be, son, prove me to others. Let others see you. I know you may blow it sometimes, but listen, don't you? You're my child. Prove it. It's for His purpose. I learned a lesson from a cook in the kitchen, my wife. I don't know about you, but has she ever, your wife ever started cooking something? She says, taste this. Now, don't come tell me to taste the ingredients as she puts them in. You do, you won't like nothing. You know that? You try to eat flour by itself. You try to eat the other grease you put in stuff. But I'll tell you what, you put those ingredients in there and stir that thing up and cook it just right, and you've got the best stuff in the world. Best biscuits, best soup. When you talk about that, you learn a lesson. You don't eat the ingredients that go into the pot by themselves. You taste them. Later you taste this, you taste that. And a good cook will stir the pot well until he gets the ingredients right. Now, before we started, I might have questioned some things. Now I don't question her. She's a good cook. Whatever she puts in there, be good. And if something put in I don't really like, don't eat no more. But I'm saying to you, that's for God. God may stir a pot. That's our life. And as He stirs it, ladies and gentlemen, there's ingredients in it we don't like. But I'll tell you this, the end result will be what God would have it be, because He has said, He never leaves us, forsake us. And He has said that I will, if you will. I won't go before, I won't go do it for you, but I'll go before you. And He tells us that. I know my cook. Therefore, I can give thanks for what is in the pot, even before it comes out of the oven and placed upon the banquet table where God sits at the head. Whatever I go through, I can give Him thanks, whatever it is. I may not, and God break my heart for it, but I can give Him thanks. Why? I'm in His hands. I'm glad that God has us protected in His hands. And one may think He's going to kill us to get us out of this world, but that's just a stepping stone to heaven. I want you to know God knows what's in the pot. He stirs the pot. And we don't like the stirring. I don't. I used to think when I got saved, man, I'm just going to ride the plank of grace. I'm going to do what God says to do. And boy, no, I'll live to be 90 years old and never have a problem. Boy, did he show me I was wrong. And I'm glad he did. Because I know I would not have trusted him as much if I hadn't had some ingredients in the pot that had to be stirred. Because then I realized, getting him when I got saved, I got everything I need for a child of God, but that's not growth. I got the potential to be able to grow, but I couldn't grow on my own. And God has stirred the pot from time to time to help us. So may God help me to go beyond the level where Moses and where David was at, which are good levels from God, and move to the third level where Paul was at, which is the best level. Well, I'll tell you, if I can get to the place like Paul, now I'm sure good Christians said, you know, Paul, I knew he was going to get it. Well, they probably lambasted him, but Paul. So no, I know where God has used me. I know that God saved me on the road to Damascus. I know that God has called me to a man to the Gentiles. And ladies and gentlemen, when you get where the Paul is at, that's the best level, child of God. But it simply says this, I may be locked up in prison, Paul says, in chains. And I can't move by anything at all in these chains, but my mind and my mouth and my heart, they can't change. And you lock me up, but I can still praise God. And we proved that in the jail at Philippi when they were singing praise that night and God shook the ground and set them free. And so here, he may not do that here, but he'll shake something, I'll tell you that. Philippians 1, 19 through 24. So many words, Paul says, saying, I rejoice, for I know that because of your prayers and God's provision by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which has happened to me, will turn out for my salvation deliverance at the end. He lets us know he had salvation and he knew deliverance was going to come. Once we arrive to this level in time, we can try up in the midst of difficulties as a mature Christian in Jesus Christ. For it is well with my soul. It is here where I get to understand. I went across the song, H.G. Spafford's song, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like billows roll, whatever my lot. This is where Paul was at, folks. He didn't know anything about this song, but he knew about this event. And Spafford said, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well in my soul. Satan can't do a thing about changing that. And Paul said, I'm going to see my best, if you'll help me, that when I'm where I'm at, and it's displeasing to me, that God still get the glory. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I see that enemy I have mostly is those things that has to do with disaster, trouble, trials. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Thank God for the valley, for it's in the valley where I grow, which helps me to become a mature Christian in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. If I go through a valley without Christ as an unsaved person, I don't know one thing what I'm talking about here. But being saved, God has given us assurance that he can help us, and I'm through. Now come back again. Level one is being born into the family of God for us in the age of grace. Level two is growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord, 2 Peter. Becoming an adult Christian. That whereas now, we're not babes, but we're helping other young children come along. Adult Christian will adjust his life or her life to help a babe. He don't try to push his authority over on someone. Adult Christian will do his best to help younger Christians come along. And when we get beyond that, then there'll be the seasonal, where it will be that wherever we're at, God help me understand that I'm in your hands. I'm in your path. Thou goes with me wherever I go. Becoming a seasoned Christian is dependent completely on you. If I'm on the mountainside top, I'm thanking you. If I'm in the valley, I'm thanking you because thou art with me there, thou art with me here. And you're stirring my pot here. You blessed me here, but you blessed me here to stir my pot. So in turn, when I get beyond this, you see where I'm going. And you need this now to trust me there. Don't you see that, folks? You need this now to trust me there. I'm doing something for you, son. I'm doing something for you. To understand, whatever you go through, you are in my hands. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. You trust me on the mountainside. Trust me as I stir the pot. For my glory. Talking about his glory, I should say. And for my good. Father in heaven, thank you for these people tonight listening, Lord. Lord, what I've said, I can't make anybody believe it. But Lord, I believe you can, and I believe if it's the word of God, you're going to let someone see. I think sometimes looking in the mirror, what is it, God, I can see that you see that I can do something better. And this book is full. You said the Old Testament is for our learning and for our instructions. And now I see why, because I've connected three dots here. I connect what you said to Israel as they redeemed out of the land of Egypt, and I've been redeemed, September 7, 1959, the family of God. I see what you said to David now as one who is mature enough to be able, even though he's in the valley of shadow of death, he feared no evil, but on the other hand, he knew God's rod and staff comfort him. Most people consider it not comfort, but harassment. But you said, he said he comforted. And then Paul talked to us about when the worst can come, God will be first in my life. Help me, Father, never to shame me. And forgive me for the things that maybe not been what they should have been because of ignorance. Help this church, Lord, not be afraid of the Word of God. Thank you for people who come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, knowing what they're going to hear. And Lord, if they just hear me, it won't mean a thing. If what I say is not scripture or backed by the Spirit of God, it's a waste of time. Please help us see us developing until God calls us home. And I say to you in my prayer, when God Almighty finished creation, he rested not because he was tired, but because he was finished. When Jesus went to Calvary and died, and went back to be with the Father, he sat down beside the Father, not because for years on this earth he was tired, because it's finished. Thank you for the thought, God, because it's not before long. Everyone in here will run their race. And God will call them home and they'll sit down. Not because they're tired, but because you have finished the race with them. Thank you for the thought. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.